It is Thursday, the 24th of July, and this is episode 216 of Digital Outbox. Hello, while the Commonwealth Games rock along in the background, we're here podcasting for your delectation. I'm Chris, joined as ever by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Come on in, Chris.
Come on in. The water's warm. We're just putting the Commonwealth Games to one side briefly while we tell you about what's been going on in the tech world. And today we're going to start with Apple, who have teamed up with IBM, and they're going to team up to offer iOS to the enterprise, basically. This must excite you.
I do. It did excite me. I was excited.
Make you feel warm and fuzzy, Ian. Did you, do you have to ask what these feelings were?
Apart from the slight dismay that we're signing a massive deal with Microsoft, but yeah, that was...
oh, dear. Whoops. Yeah.
God damn it.
Nothing that can't be changed.
No. Can I say that? But yeah. this is a big move. Nobody saw this coming. It just kind of popped out, and there was Tim Cook and the head of IBM, whose name escapes me, Ginni Rometty, doing a kind of joint, you know, release saying this is great. We don't really overlap. You know, IBM are massive enterprise and don't have a big, you know, customer base. Apple, massive customer base, and
IBM
and,
used to,
yeah, and
we've. We've lost all these people. Apple, you've got them, but we've still got this business side that's
no,
great.
Absolutely. And Microsoft and Google. Google obviously making inroads into the enterprise and kind of Microsoft side of thing. Everybody's saying, when's Apple really going to push enterprise?
And they've kind of said up till now, we're not that interested. Enterprise can come around to our way of thinking, or wait. But I think they've realized that there is a big pot of gold here, and they're running out of the consumer gold because they've kind of nailed that. So where are they going to get this next chunk that's going to raise their shares even more? Well, you know, massive white elephant of the, you know, corporations, which will not go with them currently because they're not seen to be secure enough.
And so the basics of the deal is IBM will be allowed to sell iOS devices through to the enterprise with IBM kind of managing that. And the kind of kickback from the IBM side is that they'll throw 100,000 people behind this, plus develop 100 apps, kind of enterprise focused apps,
around security and Wi-Fi operations and stuff like that, and monitoring and stuff like that.
And I'm sure it'll be on their things like, you know, Cognos, which is their BI platform, and all their kind of analytical type, you know, applications. I'm sure there's going to be a whole lot of iOS developments now from IBM.
And they're right to say that this kind of matches up, because IBM re-engineered themselves into being a consultancy, basically a super consultancy firm. It's still massive. The fact they can shove 100,000 people, that shows how big they are still behind this project. And so I think they're right now to say that because IBM is no longer in the consumer world, it's completely this corporate focus. I think they are a good match. Whether they will, you know, make a good partnership, it depends whether IBM can bring that, you know, the level of detail and control that Apple want to the table, I guess.
Absolutely. And you were right earlier on when you said it gives them a, you know, if you look at their kind of opportunities in the consumer market, I think in America and UK and certainly bits of Europe, they've kind of got it all sewn up. China is obviously big growth in Far East and India. But the enterprise market is still kind of rich for picking. And certainly, I don't know if you saw any of the earnings calls this week. I just kind of ignore most of them now, but because they all just make lots of money. And the interesting one out of Apple's this week was that the iPad for the kind of second quarter has dropped again. Yeah. We're below analyst predictions, and Cook did say we're hoping enterprise will start to just kind of
those pesky analysts.
Yeah, but he just basically kind of confirmed what you've said. Yeah. Cook agrees with you, Chris.
Cook agrees with Digital Outbox.
He's hoping that the enterprise will kind of prop up the sales on that side of things, but also maybe that first launch of the iPad, maybe it isn't as big a market because Macs have kind of picked back up again.
I mean, so another area of the market which Apple just don't seem interested in is the lower end of the market. And Microsoft this week's come out and said that they are going to be focusing much, much more on that entry-level phone. But they've also had to announce this week that they're going to be cutting 18,000 jobs across their businesses. Which is huge, much bigger than anyone expected them to announce. And I guess you could look at it that they're refocusing, but also you could look at it that this is a reflection of the, you know, their new size in the market, really.
Absolutely. And also the fact that they've picked up Nokia, and a lot of the cuts are going to be Nokia related.
Yeah, and it... I don't think that that's been a great success. I think that's fair enough to put that... analysis on the table, but yes. So Nokia is going to feel the you know, a big chunk of this, but they're also chopping jobs across Xbox entertainment industry. So this was their kind of, I guess, them trying to be a Netflix type alternative. So offering up real, you know, curated content that they actually put together themselves, which never felt like a good idea. And they've decided, yep, we're going to back out of that one. So that's going to be chopped. Although they're going to keep their Halo series going, which I guess they've drummed up enough interest now that they feel they can't back out of that one.
I think it's the kind of thing that although they're talking about that being on the Xbox platform, you could see them selling that on, you know, to other, there's enough interest outside of Xbox for people to probably, you know, watch that.
Yeah, okay. I mean, we'll see.
Entirely
never make good.
I'm not entirely convinced myself because it was only like a year ago that they were telling us that Xbox was going to be the future of media, and it was all this kind of, you know, come first on Xbox, we'll do all this original content. And even 3 months ago, they were still banging the drum, not as much, but they were still saying, no, it's coming. And it's like, well, clearly.
Yeah, now it's not. I think, and you know, people knock them down for it. I think they've realised that it's just not where they're going to make money. I think Xbox in general is, you know, because it hasn't been proved to be, you know, tremendous success compared to PlayStation. I think they're also realising that they're going to have to rationalise there a bit. But yeah, I mean, it's this big thing, but they have said, like, they're also moving away from, I think it was Nokia. So Nokia X products was going to be their low end phones for emerging markets. And it was actually going to be Android, although it was going to look like Microsoft software. But now it looks like they are going to chop that, although keep it supported, inverted commas. So probably, you know, if you got one of those phones, it is dead. But they're going to whack their, you know, they are actually going to put their operating system on these low-end phones. So I guess they're remarketing this, you know, Microsoft phone down into the low-end market. And whether they have to do engineering work to sort of lower the hardware expectations on that, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I don't know if this is the new guy just finally getting his head around how fractured they are and saying, I have to do something here. You know, so this is Nadella. This was his kind of first. This is his first big move, really. But it just, oh, I don't know. Just
does it all feel a bit Yahoo to you? This massive thing that doesn't know what it is anymore.
Yeah. You know, so there are all, and obviously that, as I said earlier, they're still making silly money. I mean, it's, we're being really negative about it, but they're away, you know, making this big, you know, Nokia, to buy Nokia, if you'd said that 10 years ago, would have been laughable.
Yeah, of course it would.
And the company's basically dead. You know, it just does not exist anymore.
No, it's a shame.
You know, it's such a turnaround from what was such a dominant, you know.
Smartphones Nokia. Are not important.
Nokia, oh, exactly.
That was their stance, wasn't it?
Yep.
People don't want these smartphones.
One bad decision, really. You know, because you look at Nokia for years, they were market leaders. But this seems to be, I mean, there's been a couple of things I've now come out since this kind of press release about the, you know, 18,000 jobs. Is this idea of like one operating system that they're now going to develop. But it doesn't mean there's one operating system, it just means there's one team doing it. And it's like, even that still sounds. This sounds like you're playing at, you know, PR rather than actually delivering something.
Yeah. So it's shifting sands, and it's been shifting sands for a while now. And let's give them the benefit of the doubt and say that this is them refocusing down on what they want to, where the direction they want to go. And they've made some good decisions recently about the way they're presenting themselves and how they've kind of realigned how they're presenting themselves with maybe where they really sit in the market.
Well,
so let's benefit the doubt for now, but it sounds Yahoo to me. Sounds, you know, this monolith just trying, having an identity crisis.
No, absolutely. I mean, even I'm just trying to find it. There was a comment that they've kind of almost just done their first GitHub account and almost put up an apology saying we've been slow to get to the party, but we're here now.
Mm.
And you can see.
But they've been saying that for ages.
Exact proofs in the pudding. And the
5 years, I'd say they've been saying that.
Yeah, but the conferences this year did seem a step change. I mean, you know, I'm still thinking back to the Azure, you know, demos, and they had John Gruber and talk about how they'd, you know, they've built a really great iOS app on top of Azure, and they were the guys there, you know, selling that, and it was like, wow, that is a, you know, they had iPhones up on stage doing their demos.
Yeah.
Bammer just wouldn't have allowed it. It was just like, no.
MPs are not happy about the drip surveillance law. So the data retention and investigatory powers, easy for me to say. So this was the one that was put through under emergency measures because we were going to have a crisis and terrorists were going to take over the world and everyone was going to die. So they said that they needed to bring these powers in. So there are at least two new MPs that have joined the campaign querying this and they're going to bring a court case basically against the government to see whether they're allowed to do this.
Yep. So since we've last podcasted, which were last Monday, DRIP's now in law. Everything is now legally being
fully debated and fully thought through.
Oh, you must have seen, and I know it comes up every time. You know, it's the same when it was all the welfare reforms and there was like, you know, 30 MPs in the house. And it was the same for DRIP. There was 30, 40 MPs there. And the counter-argument is a picture when they were debating their salaries and there was no room to sit.
Yeah,
and that and unfortunately, you know, for all of the good MPs that are there, that sums up people's perception of, you know, our politicians.
And for MPs, this is just an annoyance. It's not really in their remit. They're all trying to... They're basically on holiday, so who cares? I mean, I'm sure... Say, it's good that these two... It's not just small MPs either. David Davis and Tom Watson.
And so Tom Watson was very vocal from the start. He was really disappointed that even... You know, so obviously before it was even first announced in the House, the deal had been done. You know, so before even they'd said... Here's what we want to do, and we want to now talk to people. It was like, we've already talked to them, we've already got agreement, it's fait accompli, we're going to debate in a couple of days' time, but we are going to vote it through, nay luck. You can moan all you like, this is, and we're not changing anything, by the way. And then you had the Labour and Lib Dem guys saying, yeah, but we've got in this kind of, you know, in 2 years' time, it has to come out of law again, and we have to debate it. Whoever wins the next election has to debate this, but there's no guarantee that actually the next debate will be the same thing.
No.
You know, and whoever's in power does a deal with whoever, you know, probably only needs
once
two of
these
them.
Things are in, generally speaking, they're in for good.
To be honest, the way the Lib Dems are going, they're not going to be in part of this next time, so it's just going to be between Labour and Tories, and they'll just agree this is what we need. So Tom Watson from Labour and David Davis from Conservative, so fairly prominent big names, not they are backbenchers right now, but they weren't in the past, are joining up with Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to sue the government.
And they're going to sue the government because courts and judges at the highest level of courts in Europe have previously said that there is no use case where this is ever proportionate to just blanket store data on everyone. Now, if you've got a reason to store data, then that's fine. It's also saying it's infringing on the rights of companies and individuals. So it's not just the individual, it's actually companies as well, having to store this data and being liable for storing that data. So, and it's been argued that on several different occasions in the court, I believe. So it's not just one time that that's been the judgment. I think it's been several different judgments.
It's ridiculous. You know, the amount of countries that don't have this and they don't have terrorism. So it's Germany, a prime example. Don't have it, no intention of doing it, and they have no problem.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so not the end of that one, I'm sure. You know, we haven't brought the counter argument, which is, you know, police need to do a job in a really difficult environment, and this enables them to do that. I'm just not sure whether it's actually police that have got access to this information. I don't think your day to day crime fighters necessarily have access to this information anyway. So there you go.
Day-to-day crime fighters, I've got Batman and Superman and all those now.
No, because they know this information anyway, because they know everything.
No, because Bruce Wayne doesn't trust the police. He doesn't hand over his gadget.
But he has his own bat computer.
Okay.
Yes, he's hooked into all the main, you know, all the undersea areas already, because he's just clever. parental control filters have been a roaring success at around 4% sign up. So, and in fact, the government enforced ones have actually been faring a lot worse off than the ones that were just put in there voluntarily by ISPs. So basically, no one's offering or no one's opting to turn these filters on. And you know why? It's because, you know, if you ask a parent, do you want to protect your children from death? They're going to say yes. But when it actually comes down to, do you really want to protect your whole internet access? People don't care, because it doesn't mean that their children are going to die.
No.
So there
I
you
mean,
go. That's
I mean, I said this at the time, it was going to be ineffectual. And it has been.
Yeah, and it was always going to be. It was going to be a flop, and it kind of is. There is some sign up, so it's not, you know, not to say that any. It's just, you know, this would have happened or could have happened anyway if there was a requirement or a need. There would have been a firm offering this kind of. In fact, there were firms offering software that would do actually a better job of being able giving parents the control they need at an operating system level, and it wasn't ever bought by anyone. So there you go. People don't really care about their kids that much. Pirate Bay, meanwhile, has seen a doubling of their traffic post ISP blocking it. So by blocking it, shock horror, they've seen an increase in traffic, probably due to the increase in advertising that it gets by going onto the media, and people knowing how to use proxies to get around. Because, you know, it doesn't take 2 seconds for someone to say, well, just go download that proxy and then you can go and visit the site again. What a shock.
It's what a shock. And again, it was just all that news and hoo-ha and look what we're doing and blah, blah, blah.
Anyway, and, it's something like 9% increase from American traffic. Is that right?
Yeah. Another thing this week is I've said that, you know, they've now committed that from next year, they're going to start this email nonsense. You know, if you've been a bad boy and you've downloaded, I don't know, Miley Cyrus, via torrent, we're going to send you an email.
And it's a warning email, but it can't be threatening in any way, and it's toothless because it can't do anything. But they will nevertheless commit these things to virtual paper and put them in your inbox, I guess, as much as anything, just to let your parents know that you've been downloading Miley Cyrus.
But tell you what, see if it's annoying, you just do it 3 times after that, and then there's no more. Then you're just free to talk as much as you like. Do it 4 times.
Yes, because they weren't ever allowed to put into the Chop Off the Internet Act, which they wanted to do. Remember all that? That's going to come back and it's going to resurface. I know it. Here, you've heard it here first.
Oh, yeah, of course it will. Thanks.
So Google Plus that still exists, has decided that it's no longer, or Google, in fact, has decided that it's no longer going to require you to use your real name for its profiles. So after 3 years of switching everyone to their real name profiles, they've kind of relented and said, you can do whatever you like.
And I have two views. One was, at the time I thought it was a bit silly. See, if you want to call yourself, you know, whatever it is, then do it. But then the comment,
just reading YouTube comments is...
Commenting has cleaned up, because it was your actual name. And I know people...
The most depressing thing in the world, reading YouTube comments.
But just turn them off.
No, but then, yeah, but okay. In fact, that's not fair to say just YouTube comments, which was particularly bad, but any comments on any site across any internet that wasn't moderated by a sane, rational person.
As somebody far cleverer than me called it, the bottom half of the internet, never read it.
Yeah. It's morbid curiosity, though. You can't help it.
But I do think...
I can't help it, I'm drawn to the light.
I know, but I do think...
And then you read it and you go, I wish I hadn't.
Yeah. Well, that's a bit like the Daily Mail. But yeah, anytime it's like I actually sent somebody a Daily Mail link and I had to go and wash.
My brother-in-law made the Daily Mail the other day. Anyway.
What, he actually made it, or he actually was in it?
He was in it. I'll tell you about it afterwards.
It's your brother. No, I better not.
My brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law, sorry.
You've got distance. Did you hear that distance?
you just went redder. That's the best bit about this whole story. Hot in that room right now.
Cornish carnivals have never been in the news so much.
Oh no. So there's two bits, but I thought it was daft at the time, because some people were saying, you know, I'm known everywhere as this, you know, handle, like Sweeper. I'm known everywhere as Sweeper. Mm-hmm. Why am I now being forced to put in my real name just so I can have a presence on your site? But at the same time, I could understand, let's clean everything up. And it did help to clean
things up. It's supposed to be you online. You know, Facebook in effect enforces it by, you know, you have to use it by their terms and conditions. You have to be, you know, your real name.
But if you've got like a dodgy name, like if your surname's Dick, for example, you might not want to have that in your profile name.
No. Yeah, Shreeper's much more memorable.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they've relented anyway. So you, as long as it's, I think, not offensive, you are now free to use whatever you like, which is fine as long as you didn't fight, you know. I guess most people now have probably given in. Scotland's got its own .scot domain now, which has been released. I think we mentioned this before, and no idea why our podcast particularly focuses around Scotland. Any ideas?
I have just registered digitaloutbox.scot.
There you go. And therefore, we will have a much higher degree of customer retention and satisfaction with our services because it's got .scot, which everyone knows is a very trustworthy domain name.
Come on in, Digitaloutbox.
Come on in. Yeah, so anyway, obviously lots of firms have already signed up for this, especially those who've got that Scottish connection, and they reckon that actually they'll see a consumer rise in spending because people are saying they're more likely to spend money on a .scot address, especially if they are from Scotland.
And especially if, and it won't happen, but especially if Scotland votes yes for independence, then obviously it gets there'll be a massive run, don't walk, get that .scot domain name.
Get that .scot. There we go. NVIDIA has released a tablet. They've called it the Shield tablet. And basically it comes with, or it has a controller designed to work with it. And as well as running the sort of high-end Android games, it can also stream from an NVIDIA graphics card across the network. So you can actually stream to your tablet from your PC if you have the right NVIDIA card.
This is like really nice tech without a market.
Exactly. Yeah, it's clever stuff. Who's gonna buy it? Who gonna buy it, boy? They've got no exclusives, and someone's going to enjoy streaming it from their computer if they happen to have the particularly right. Maybe if they ship it with that graphics tablet, which a graphics card, which they might do, they might go somewhere. But anyway, this is £230 plus £50 for the controller. High-end gamers, they've got consoles to do this.
Well, they have got consoles, but there is, you know, if you go into, you know, if you do frequent like NeoGAF and stuff, there is that kind of dedicated idea of the only way of getting true next-gen gaming is to just go the PC route.
So yes,
there's probably a market there's probably a market there now that isn't us, clearly isn't us, because I don't game on Macs or PCs or anything really. It's just I'll pick up a console, it's easy, kinda works. Graphics are good enough.
Yeah, but in order to get it across the network and onto the tablet or even your living room TV, they have to compress it because it's over Wi-Fi, and Wi-Fi is a limiting factor there. So,
but then it depends on the resolution. I mean, Shaq, did I tell you Shaq picked up a Wii U?
Oh, no, okay.
He picked up a Wii U, and it was just because after E3, he looked at the kind of games at the end and was like, I do want to play Zelda when it comes out, and I want to play Mario, and I want to.
That's the only reason you would buy Wii U.
Because
that's the reason to do it.
Yeah, he's got a PS4 and he wanted to play Mario Kart, and he's loving it. And he actually plays quite a bit on the tablet, you know, streaming from the Wii U, and he said it looks great. He said it's fantastic. Okay. So it's maybe one of these ones that I do agree with you. I just can't see it being a nice clean.
I'm sure they will make sales. They will sell to people. There will be people who will buy this. But I just hope that they've got their pricing based on, you know, several hundred thousand people buying this rather than millions of people buying it.
Yeah, I just can't see it.
So I hope they've got their market, you know, they've worked out their market correctly. Because then, you know, these things can tick along in the background. You know, if you happen to have that graphics card, then great, go for it.
And you know, I'm almost being devil's advocate. Maybe we're just no longer part of this core market now. You know,
we don't understand it.
You look at the whole stuff around what was the gaming tournament last week that was for $10 million around
I don't know.
It was Dota 2. It was all around Dota 2, and it was getting, you know, millions of people watching it live. And
yeah, you know, you're right. You're right. We may
1%
just
buys that. Maybe that's profit.
We're getting to the age now where, you know, why do I need a mobile phone? I don't need one of those things, you know.
There was all sorts of accents there.
That was definitely Yorkshire.
No, I sounded like American at the start.
No. No, lad. Down, boy. Right. That is the end of the news. We're getting too old. We need our nap and our pipe and slippers, and we need to go back and watch the Commonwealth Games. So
that's it's all right. The swimming's been delayed because of all the crazy airport style security getting the games venues. They're not getting people in quick enough.
So if we hurry, we might get down there.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So I haven't got a pick. Have you got a pick?
No, come to Glasgow. Come and visit the games.
Come on in.
Come on in.
You two can watch John Barrowman singing in a Scottish accent. Right, so that is the end of the podcast.
It was better than Karen Dunbar.
Yeah, he really was, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, okay.
Come on.
Find out more about who we are, what we are, digitaloutbox.com. Talk to us, info at digitaloutbox.com, Twitter and Skype, Digital Outbox. You can find out about me. You can follow me on Twitter, CheesyUK. And if you want to find out about my racing that I do, academyracer.co.uk is the web address. Ian?
Twitter, Sweeper Twitter, blogs, iandd.net.
Perfect. And we will talk to you next week. Okay.
Ta-da. Now, I know you would usually do a little bit here, but Hannah Miley's just got in the pool, so I'm going to go and watch Hannah Miley.
You do that, Ian. Have fun.
Did you understand a word I said there, or did I go very Scottish? It was all
you went very Scottish on me.
All right. Just call me John Barrowman.
All right. Yeah.
The best tweet I saw last night was like, they really do have a cock under that kilt. Yeah. And on that note, goodbye.
See ya. Bye.